Garden of Eden Ministries. You are welcome here. Our ministry is an online ministry focused on strengthening and equipping the Bride of Christ to finish her end-time mission. We have prayer calls Monday and Tuesdays at 7:30 a.m. and Bible studies on Monday and Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Go to our website to find out more at www.gom.us. Do you want trustworthy Christian news? Then follow Dr. June Knight Weir on Patreon at www.patreon.com/Dr. June Knight Weir. Thank you for checking us out. God bless you.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Today we are talking about Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. It tells of the dramatic conclusion of Paul and Barnabas's first missionary journey, detailing their preaching, miracles, severe persecution, and the organization of the early Christian church. Preaching and opposition in Iconium. Mixed response. Paul and Barnabas preached in a Jewish synagogue, leading many Jews and Greeks to believe. Hostility. Unbelieving local groups stirred up opposition and divided the city. Escape. Hearing of a plot to stone them, the apostles fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe. Mistaken for gods in Lystra. The miracle. Paul healed a man who was crippled from birth. Idolatrous reaction. The fickle crowd assumed the apostles were Greek deities, calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes, and attempted to offer sacrifices. The rejection. Horrified, Paul and Barnabas tore their clothes and insisted they were ordinary mortals, pointing the crowd instead to the living Creator. Stoning of Paul and journey to Derbe, and then the return journey and appointing elders. So we're actually going to learn today about how the early church began. So let's go ahead and pray and get started. Lord, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to be together to study your word this morning. Lord, we thank you that we are learning about Paul's journey and what he went through, Lord, when you converted him from Saul to Paul. And we thank you, God, for teaching us, leading and guiding us into all the truth today. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let me get this on the screen for you. And it came to pass in Iconium that when they both went together into the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. How many of you guys have ever been a part of a church where this has literally happened in the church, where people come in and they stir up all this trouble and they get people mad at the pastors and stuff? Have you ever been a part of that in a local body? Because this is kind of the way that is. Another way that this is you take, you know, how other leaders will come against you, you know, and stir up strife and stuff. I had that happen one time. That city that I was living in, they wanted me to be, this was back in 2013. They wanted me to be the president of a GLO, which was a global organization for women. And I was excited to do it and everything. But the woman who was the last president 5 years prior, and there has not been another GLO since then, she got jealous. And boy, did she cause me trouble, let me tell you. She went to my pastor and trashed me, and all the other pastors and trashed me. She didn't feel I was worthy of that position. And that's what she would tell. So I guess that's why they didn't have a chapter for 5 years. Yeah, I don't know. But anyways, that's what it's like. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part held with the Jews, and part held with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. Uh-oh. Wow. They're really coming against the disciples now, aren't they? So much so that they're wanting to kill them. Stone them and kill them. They were aware of this plan and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. Now, we noticed, if you study the book of Matthew, you will hear of a story where they all came after Jesus and they all surrounded him, and Jesus squirmed through the crowd and got out. Remember that one? They was going to throw him off a cliff. This is what truth will do. Truth cuts like a knife. Yes, it does. It cuts like a knife. And some people, it hurts their ears so bad to hear it. But God loves those that he warns. I mean, he warns those that he loves. And so a lot of times he'll let you know of plots and plans that are in the future. He sure will. I remember raising my kids, boy, and he would tell me whenever the enemy was trying to come against them. And he would give me a dream and he'd say, you know, the enemy's trying this, boy. I'd get up and I'd fight. Yes, I would. I'd say, oh, no, devil. You're not going to do that to my son. No way. I blocked that in Jesus' name. You know, and then I prayed against it. So the point is that God will warn us. I just had a memory come to my head about this guy. One time I was serving Dr. Morris. And this, you know, this was down there in Florida. I mean, not Florida, but Texas. And the Lord told me that some man was going to show up to church that day and ask me out. And something, I can't remember the full dream of it. But do you know, he warned me about what to do when that happened. That man showed up. Some just man out of nowhere showed up and actually did that. I mean, that's how God is. He will warn you to protect you, you know. And there preached the gospel. There they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceived that he had the faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up on your feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garland to the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out and saying, sirs, why do you do these things? We're also men of light passions with you. We preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto a living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all the things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice to them. And there came a certain Jew from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul. Well, this is Paul's first persecution we see. They stoned him and drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now, this would be an interesting question. Why did they stone people in the Bible? Okay. People were stoned in the Bible as a form of capital punishment commanded under Mosaic law for severe religious, moral, or societal social offenses. Okay, they would stone them for idolatry. Okay, we know what they did, but why? According to the theological analysis, the ultimate purpose was to purge severe evil from the community and enforce a strict standard of moral alignment with God. The process required safeguards to prevent arbitrary and emotional killings. Okay, a person could not be condemned unless at least two or three witnesses verified the crime. The witnesses were required to throw the first stones, following by the rest of the community. This collective action symbolized that the entire community bore responsibility for upholding the law and removing the sin. Executions typically took place outside the camp or city walls. Wow. See, I asked the Lord one day, I'm like, Lord, why did they stone people back in those days? And this is what God told me. He said, because you are a house, and the stoning is other houses rejecting your house. That's what God told me, which makes a lot of sense. Does anybody else have any understanding about stoning? Okay, let's go back over here. Now, it's amazing that Paul even lived, isn't it? It's amazing he even lived after he was stoned. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city the next day. He departed with Barnabas and Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. So he kept on preaching even after he was stoned, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Everybody lift your hands. Say, in the name of Jesus, I do understand that through much tribulation, I will enter into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Because NAR teaches that you don't suffer. If you suffer, it's a lack of your own, it's your own fault. Meaning, it's your own lack of faith is the reason why you're suffering. It's not any other reason type of deal. Okay, most tribulation. Okay, and when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commanded them to the Lord on whom they believed. Commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Okay, so when they say that they were ordained, that's where the anointing of oil come in. So we're noticing a hierarchy or a structure of the original church that they did in Acts. So what do we say, do we know that they did? Okay, so we had the apostles at the top, right? And then underneath the apostles, what we see so far is elders. elders. Elders in every church. And they prayed with fasting and commanded them to the Lord of whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia. And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Can you imagine these people hearing this for the first time? Wow! God actually opened the door to the Gentiles? That's amazing! I mean, what a difference. What a difference. So let's read our last scripture. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. Isn't that awesome? So let's talk about the stoning of Paul. It was mob violence. Antagonists from earlier cities arrived and turned the fickle crowd against Paul. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, leaving him for dead. But he had a miraculous recovery. As believers gathered around him, Paul stood up, walked back in the city, and traveled to Derbe the next day. Then he returned and anointed elders, strengthening the believers. Rather than taking an easy route home, they retraced their steps through Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch to encourage disciples, church leadership. Through prayer and fasting, they appointed elders in every new church. Report to Antioch. They sailed back to Syrian Antioch to report all that God had done in opening the door of faith to the Gentiles. What I would like to ask is, what was the structure of the early church in the book of Acts? Because I've got it listed right now. You have the apostles and then the elders. Okay, the structure of the early church in the biblical book of Acts was not a rigid hierarchy, but a fluid, rapidly evolving community, organized around spiritual leadership, shared resources, and local oversight. It transitioned from a single centralized group in Jerusalem, led by the original apostles, to a multi-ethnic network of self-governing local churches. Leadership roles. Okay, this is what I was looking for, I guess. The apostles held ultimate spiritual authority, witnessed Christ's resurrection, and established foundational doctrine. This is why we can believe the Bible the way that we do in the New Testament. See, the people that are doing the Hebrew roots and all of that kind of stuff, is pushing everybody away from Paul, saying that this is not a doctrine you should listen to. But yes, it is. So you had the apostles, then you had the elders, managed local church government, handled finances, and provided pastoral oversight in cities like Jerusalem and Ephesus. The deacons, which were the seven, appointed to handle daily food distribution to widows, ensuring administrative tasks did not distract from preaching. See, that is a good pastor, is being able to delegate, having other people help. And I know a lot of church members get mad because I was in the hospital and the pastor didn't come see me. And they get mad at the pastor. Don't do that. Hopefully the pastor will have other people designated for that purpose. It's not a bad thing. I mean, it still represents the church. You know what I mean? Okay, prophets and teachers provided localized spiritual guidance, instruction, and occasional divine revelations for the community. Community structure and dynamics, the Jerusalem hub, acted as the primary doctrinal authority and sent out leaders to inspect or validate new Christian movements. House churches met in private homes for intimate worship, prayer, and safety due to a lack of dedicated public buildings. The Jerusalem Council established a precedent for collective decision-making where global church leaders debated and unified on theological disputes. Okay, so that could also be how, like, the denominations think, because they all have that. They all have, like, head councils, you know. And then they do a council once a year, like, say, the Baptist, the Southern Baptist, you know, all these. And they meet once a year, and then they discuss doctrine. They vote as a collective body, like, say, the, you know, the hot-button issue of LGBT, or what the Southern Baptist did this year when they said they do not endorse women preachers. That is because they did just like this, collective decision-making. Core practices, common purse. Members voluntarily sold property to distribute funds to anyone in need, eliminating poverty within their community. By the way, I did find the proof of what I was telling you since this came up, and I meant to show it on the news. I need to show you guys the proof of what I was saying. Hold on here. Of whenever I brought a proposal to the president to help the country with the poor people, I found the proof. Let me pull it up here for you. Okay, here we go. Here it is. This was my plan back in 2018. And what my plan was is that we would do a mega revival, Make America Great Again. But the great was the people. America was the people, making people great again. So how was people going to be great again? They were going to be empowered with information. Like, remember I told you God gave me a website, and then you go to the website and you would say, okay, my family is the Weirs. We love prison ministry. We love volunteering at nursing homes. But we need a car or whatever. And thus, it would network you to every, like, place in your city that did the things you want to volunteer at, like a church that did a nursing home, or where you can have immediate contact with that ministry and, you know, apply to volunteer there. And then the same with needs. You know, they would be able to find, in other words, it was a one-stop shop for volunteerism, and because I'm a big volunteer person, volunteerism and subsidies, giving them resources in one place so they don't have to search it all day long. So I was going to do a national tour and bring all the church together, because I was telling the president in this document that the church needs the money. You know, we want to help the poor. God has already given the entire church out here a structure. If you would give money to them, they would handle the problems. Okay? So that's what this bus was for. That's one. And then I put love our neighbors again, take back our communities. That was a part of it. User-friendly access to resources, see? Mega Revival Show. I was going to be live every day, showing Americans news on the road, America countryside. interviewing people, explaining to them, you know, what was going to be offered by the country, how they could access their resources, yada, yada. And then I put traveling to a city near you, 2019 to 2020. Find the resources you need to be great. This is a good campaign, don't y'all think? Empowering you to be great. Make America, which is the person, great again. And look what I put about Trump, since he liked to hold his fist up. I said, Trump 2020, power to the people. But it was all about helping the poor. So there you go. There's my proof, baby. I told y'all I wasn't lying, didn't I? All right, so let's go back over here. The Apostles' teaching. Prioritize daily devotion to scriptural instruction, communal prayer, and fellowship. Breaking of bread. Combined routine meals with the Lord's Supper, both in large temple courts and private homes. So there we go with the structure of the church. Yeah, I was really sad that they turned that plan down, but come to find out later, they ended up doing a lot of that with women. The Trump, what they call them, they did, in other words, them and Clay Clark, they all did bus tours like that. So everything ended up perverted. It didn't do, but I obeyed God and I submitted it, so that's all I could do. All right, guys, that's all I had for you today on Acts chapter 14. It was a very good chapter, and I will see you guys. Let's see, this is Thursday, so I won't see you again till Monday to do our next one, okay? And I will talk to you later. God bless.